Please take your Bibles this evening and go to two passages of Scripture. We're going to go to James chapter 4, and then hold your place there. We'll go to Luke chapter 12. And as you're turning there, I would like to thank our pastor again for the opportunity to speak and share God's Word with you this evening. It's hard to imagine September the 25th, 2016. That was our first Sunday here at Worth Baptist Church. It seems like it was just yesterday. That was 8 years-ish ago now. And we thank God for the opportunity to serve here at Worth Baptist Church. I've mentioned this to pastor several times, not every day or every week, but anytime he feels God's leading to go in a different direction, to let me know, because I don't want to be in a place where I'm hindering God's work. But we are thankful for the opportunity to serve here at Worth Baptist Church. And we love the young people. I just gave one of the boys a hug, praying for him in a very special way. But God is good to us. James chapter 4 and Luke chapter 12. What was one of the highlights for you this Christmas holiday season? If we had the time, we can go around the room and share some highlights, some memories, some laughs, some different things that took place. But I really enjoyed watching Home Alone with my kiddos. That was a highlight for me. I loved playing the Super Nintendo with my wife on Christmas Eve. And it's humbling to say, but she got the best of me in Dr. Mario. I'm a little out of practice. I really appreciated the chance just to sit around and relax. How many of you had a chance just to chillax over the Christmas break? And that's something I enjoyed more than seeing Santa Claus. Now, I did splurge a little on Christmas Day. I took the family out to Waffle House. The booth and table we sat at were a little sticky from the syrup. But the Fiesta omelet, the Texas cheesesteak, the hash browns, the grits, the pecan waffles that we got, they were all yummy. Now, I'm just wondering in our audience this evening, how many of you have never, ever been to Waffle House? Would you raise your hand? I'm surprised. Yes. How many of you seriously have never been to Waffle House? Would you stand? We would just like to. No, I'm serious. Would you stand? If you've never been to Waffle House, yes, please stand. Yes. Now, I just want to say on the last Sunday of 2024, you could be seated, that you, my dear friend, are missing out on one of the most upscale gourmet dining places in all the world. As you could tell, this is the family picture that we had. Pastor, I was just thinking, I might make this a youth activity in 2025. I mean, we could do all sorts of stuff. We could go and serve. Like, we could wipe the tables and sanitize the chairs and clean the floors. Like, that would be a great way of serving. We could find people and talk to them about Jesus. And then we could also enjoy a delicious meal. If you'll notice in our picture, there are servers in the background. Her name's Julie. I learned this from our pastor going out to eat many times with him. She brought her food to the table, and I said, Julie, I appreciate your service. We're going to have a word of prayer for our food and thank God for it. Julie, is there anything that we as a family can pray for you about? And she was kind of taken back a little bit, kind of caught off guard. It was a really busy place. That syrup that was there was fresh, so someone was just at our table. And she was working on Christmas Day. I left her a good tip, by the way. She paused and she said, pray that I can get everything in life together. Pray that I can get everything in life in order and together. I believe there are many of us, we would answer like Julie, for the new year 2025. Pray that I can get everything in life together. I always look forward to the new year because it gives us another opportunity to start over again, to have a new beginning. And as we come to James chapter 4, we're going to read verse 13, 14, and 15. Many Bible scholars and commentators believe it was the half-brother of Jesus, James, who was the human penman of this letter. Think about that for just a moment. James had the awesome privilege of growing up in the same home of Jesus Christ, God in flesh. James was writing here to the scattered Christian Jews, and his main message is that Christianity must not only be believed, Christianity must be lived. J. Sidlow Baxter wrote, all throughout this letter, the book of James, there's an emphasis on good works. James is not arguing for good works as a means to salvation, but as the product of salvation. The theme of this epistle is the proofs of true faith. Faith is the root of salvation. Works are the fruit of salvation. Faith is the cause of salvation, and works are the result of salvation. So the book of James is a how-to book in living the Christian life. If I could say it this way, it's an instructional guide of how to live for Christ. I wrote in my Bible here, our beliefs about God should affect our behavior for God. Let's look at James chapter 4, verse 13. James writes, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. As we come to this passage of scripture, it reminded me of a story. Earlier this year, Greg Wasick and I talked to a man, 27 years old. He showed us some paperwork from a court date he had coming up. He needed some financial help. He was about to be evicted from his apartment. His car was just impounded for the third time. The same vehicle that he had just put a $1,000 set of tires on. We listened to his story. He needed help. He needed help in life to get things together and in order. And the title of the message is a statement that I wrote in my Bible here back from 2003 of April. A preacher by the name of Dr. Lee Robertson gave a simple statement. I wrote it down. And it's the title of our message this evening. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Going back to that 27-year-old man, of course, we wanted to be a help. If you know anything about the Waxes, there are people who are always willing and ready to help. And the question this evening is it good to help people that are in need? Yes or no? Yes. I hope that we'll never get to a place where we think we're too good to help others. One of my favorite Bible verses is in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, where it says, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So yes, we understand it is good to help people in need. The second question is, how do you help people in need? Where do you begin? What counsel or advice would you give to someone? As I spoke to this young man and spent the next couple of days following up with him, we didn't want to just put a Band-Aid on the situation that he was in. We knew that serious attention needed to be given. As we come to the book of James here, I believe he gives us three pieces of advice about not wasting your life. Can I give them to you? Number one, verse 13, James says this, plan for the future. Plan for the future. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year. And he says this, and buy and sell and get gain. I asked a question this evening, are you planning and preparing for the future? I believe it was Dr. George Crabb, who was with us not long ago, who gave this statement. We have become addicted to comfort and convenience. We kind of expect everyone to do everything for us. We want the product, but we don't want the process. And the Bible says a lot about planning and preparing. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, 8, and 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So what is God's word teaching us about planning? You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. You reap after you sow. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8 speaks about the little ant preparing for the future. The word of God says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. What is God's word teaching us here? Don't be concerned with just today. What do you want to be this new year? Can I give you a suggestion? Be an ant. Just like a musician prepares to perform, just like an athlete prepares for a game, just like a lawyer prepares for court, just like a surgeon prepares for surgery, just like a pastor prepares to preach, just like a mother who prepares dinner, it is important for you and I to plan and prepare for the future. It is vital that we plan for the new year. Let me speak to the young people real quick. My pastor in college and in Tennessee for many years would often say plain talk is easily understood. What does planning and preparing for the future look like for teenagers or college age students? Be on time. Do your chores. Develop good habits. I know this sounds crazy, but it's important as teenagers and adults that we brush our teeth. We take a shower every day using soap and shampoo. I was speaking to a college student just the other day. I asked how things were going and if they survive the semester. And by the look on their face, he hung his head low and said, I learned a lot this year, Brother Tony. I learned a lot of what not to do from my own mistakes. And when we struggle with, and you fill in the blank, many times it's because we are struggling because we have failed to plan for the future. I believe the saying is true. If you fail to plan, you can plan to fail. Look, good grades don't come by accident. We're to be good stewards of the time and the talents and the treasures that God has given to us. I wrote down three areas in my life, and I think maybe they'll be good for you. So where do you even start? I wrote these three things down. Maybe that will help you in planning for the future. Number one, set a spiritual goal. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It seems like I just heard someone speak on this subject recently. I don't know where. A wise plan for the new year. And one of the first questions was, what will I do to grow closer to God? So I ask and I repeat from what we heard this morning. Do you and I have a spiritual goal in reading God's word, in memorizing God's word, in meditating on God's word? I just want to say thank you, Pastor, and to the church. Last week, we passed out a devotional book, one for every family. Brother Earl, I'm not sure if we have any extras. But I'm looking forward to using that in our home. I don't know if we'll be able to do it every day, but I'm going to take the challenge and do something for our family. And we're going to look at that devotional book and open God's word. That's a spiritual goal that I'm setting. Number one, set a spiritual goal. Number two, set a physical goal. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 reminds us that our bodies did not belong to us. We've been bought with a price, and therefore we are to glorify God with our bodies and in our minds. I think this is something that we don't talk much about, maybe because it's an embarrassing topic. But please don't forget 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Hey, can I help you save some money this year? Don't go to the doctor just to hear him say, exercise more and eat better. All right, you can pay me later for that. I'll charge you half off. Set a physical goal, not just for you, but for the glory of God. Set a spiritual goal, set a physical goal, set a social goal. Do something for someone else. Love your family. Forgive others. Witness to the lost. Set some sort of goal. And what James is saying in verse 13 is this. Plan for the future. Number two. He says, remember life is short. Look at verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And then vanisheth away. Scripture says, Proverbs 27 verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, a verse that our young people this past year try to memorize. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Don't believe me that life is short? Just Google it. I did. According to world population, 166,859 people die every day. in the world that we live in. 6,952 people die every hour. 116 every minute. 1.93 every second. Your life, my life, is a vapor. It's a fog. Don't be presumptuous. Life is precious and fragile. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, "Life is short. Eat more ice cream." And I thought, I'm not sure if that's what James was talking about here. Plan for the future. Remember, life is short. And then number three, and this is where I want to spend some time. James says in verse number 15, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will." And here's number three. Don't plan without God. If the Lord will. It is good to have goals, but goals can disappoint us if we leave God out of them. There's no point in making plans as through God does not exist, because the future is in his hands. And I believe the Lord Jesus gives a great commentary on this thought about not planning without him. Would you turn to Luke chapter 12 there? Luke chapter 12, we'll begin reading here, verse number 15. Jesus here gives a parable about a man and his life. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he, speaking of Christ, said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" In verse 21, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." What was the main issue with the rich man we just read about? Because planning and preparing, is it good or bad? It's good. James said we ought to plan for the future. But when we plan and prepare without God, we are then lifted up with pride, and then we'll be humble. This man was more concerned about money and things. Did you notice the word there that's mentioned in verse 15? Would you circle it? "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things." Look down at verse number 21. Verse 20. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be?" I've circled those two words. I've drawn a line connecting them. And I wrote this down. Most of our life consists of many things but God. This rich man had equated success based on his bank account. And I just want to remind all of us, don't fall into that trap. This Christmas season, my wife and I were thinking through of some gifts and things that we could try to get to our kids, and I won't tell on one of them, but they just said, "Dad, we just need money. We're broke." I thought, I'm broke. You're broke. We're all broke. But don't fall into the trap where you feel like you have to have a lot of things and money. This man here, he gave more attention to things and also to his body. He said here, "Eat, drink, and be merry." He was more concerned about the temporal than the spiritual. I've seen many of young people who've lost their enthusiasm for the Lord because of things. What we learn is this, that this man was interested only in the here and now and not the hereafter. Where are you? What one thing can you do, Pastor, this year that will matter for all of eternity? And Pastor reminded us this morning that there are two things that are eternal. That is the Word of God and the souls of man. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we won't take time to turn there, but we have the message of Moses to the people. In verse 12 down to verse 20, his message was very clear. Don't plan and don't prepare without God. J. Vernon McGee, commentator, author, said, human life apart from God is out of joint. It's dislocated, a colossal failure. We are allotted only 70 years. That's 70 years. And he writes, if we get any more than that, they are filled with aches and pains. Few learn to live here on earth with purpose and meaning. And I remember pastors sharing the story of Tom Brady, and this is some years back, but he was interviewed by 60 Minutes, and I went back and watched that interview. And the question was asked about Tom Brady and his life and all of his successes. And he gave the comment, the quote, there has to be more to life than this. And the news reporter asked, what's the answer? And Brady responded, I wish I knew. Don't plan without God. H.A. Ironside wrote, in looking forward to the future, we should seek to know his will. When we suggest a date for a certain purpose, we should also seek the mind of God before making any such arrangements at all. To act otherwise is to take an attitude of independence, pride, rejoicing in our boastings is to dishonor God. And he says, all such rejoicing is evil. John Phillips wrote, we should not announce boastfully our plans for the future. We should acknowledge reverently that we are completely dependent on the will of God for the accomplishment of anything. Involving God right from the start in the decision-making process is the way of wisdom. Don't plan without God. Someone once shared a simple formula for living, and I thought it was good. Here are some points to consider about a simple formula for living. The writer says, live beneath your means. Return everything you borrow. Stop blaming other people. Admit it when you made a mistake. Give clothes not worn to charity. Do something nice and try not to get caught. Listen more, talk less. Every day, take a 30-minute walk. Strive for excellence, not perfection. Be on time. Don't make excuses. Don't argue. Get organized. Be kind to unkind people, and I need help with that. Let someone cut ahead of you in line. Take time to be alone. Cultivate good manners. Be humble. Realize and accept that life isn't fair. Know when to keep your mouth shut. Go an entire day without criticizing anyone. Learn from the past. Plan for the future. Live in the present. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's just small stuff. I believe the writer missed one thing, and maybe it's the biggest point. Don't plan without God. And I believe the Lord Jesus said it best in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Jesus said, lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, do you know it, class? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think a good Old Testament illustration, there's a lot that we could look to, but the book of Joshua chapter 7, the Israelites suffered a humiliating defeat. Do you know the story? Do you remember it? They were defeated at Ai. They had not consulted God. They went ahead with their plans and forgot to plan without God. They not only suffered because of them not consulting after God, but they failed because of the sin that was in the camp. The result of Joshua chapter 7 was depending on human opinion, and depending on their human opinion proved to be disastrous. And I just want to say with James, plan for the future. Remember that life is short, and don't plan without God. Let's pray together. Our pastor's going to come and he's going to extend the invitation this evening. But I'm praying for my family, praying for my children. I'm praying for this new year. And I'm praying for our church family and the ministry that God has given to us. I don't know how God has worked in your life, but please keep those things in mind from the book of James. Plan and prepare for 2025. Don't forget, life is short. Love your loved ones. And in your planning and in your preparation, don't plan without God.